drink it in, man.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! Cornbread! Cornbread!
Drink it in, man. Detroit Kool-Aid, Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers. What's going on, everybody? It's your host, Derek Oakery, right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. Before we get swim rolling, let me fill up your glass real quick.
Drink it in,
double-sided cornbread.
Cornbread! Cornbread!
And you're probably going to need it because, I mean, there's no sense of buttering this up or telling you about what happened in the first quarter or what happened to our secondary or who scored touchdowns or how Chops' boy Jared Goff was throwing wobbly spirals some to the other team. Chops, I know you're on the other end of the line. Everybody knows who you are. You're the guy on the show that whoops it up and does crazy things. There's only one thing to talk about this week, and we all know what it is. The Lions getting screwed, getting done by the NFL in Dallas again. What's going on, buddy?
Oakry, I've had 48 hours to try to calm down, and I'm still not calm. Okay, I'm ramped up. There was a nice intro by you, and I immediately, like, it's just started getting me bubbling again. The blood is boiling. We're gonna break down the whole play. No, we're not gonna break down nothing today. We're gonna go in a little bit here, a little bit there, but it's all gonna be about the screw job times two in Dallas. Screwed again. In the D, not
we will
Detroit.
We will get gimmicks in. We will serve up positive Kool-Aid. But we're spending the whole first segment on the final play when the Detroit Lions won the football game on what was such a genius move on so many levels by Ben Genius and Dan freaking Campbell.
Ben Johnson, I love you. Ben Johnson, you are my hero.
And this is why, Chops. These guys, we've been saying on the pod, they set things up. They do things on purpose. So the Detroit Lions drove down the field, went down one. You knew Dan freaking Campbell, the alpha of all alpha males, is going for two. And what do? They dial up this play that they've had cooking for who knows how long. They send two tackles over to the ref. Taylor Decker says, I'm reporting. Then they have Dan Skipper run on like he normally would when he's in other games playing a eligible jumbo tight end. But he does not say anything to the referee. Three people by the referee. One person reports. That person then catches the football, whether it be wobbly spiral or not from Jared Goff, to win the football game. This was tactical. This was perfectly executed. This was smart. And the only person that screwed it up was the main zebra. And I'm telling you right now, this was on purpose. He saw the man in front of him. 68 looks nothing like 7-0. He said 7-0 on purpose. He told the defense. And then there's just so much to get into with this. Chops, did I lay it out right or what? We tactically drew this up in the dirt, told them ahead of time, did it perfectly. They screwed it up. Then they penalized us. And then Dan freaking Campbell, he's got his teams back. He's going for it. He's going to try to win this game and get out of Dallas with a dubski because he knows nobody else is going to do it for him. I need
a
breath.
Okay. Let me get in here. Let me get in here and calm me down. Take a breath, buddy. Take a breath. Look. Does it make you feel any better that the hashtag Goff train took the ball with a minute 41 left, when the chips were down, the stakes were down, we're down by seven. We gotta score. We hold them to a field goal. We got time to come down. And what does the Goff train do? Picks away the defense. First down. Woo! Down in there. Down in there. First and goal. Down to it. And, you know, despite all that, draw up the great play. Score the touchdown. You know, and then, Amon-Ra gets the touchdown. And then, of course, like you just laid out, I'm not going to go through it all again. Draws up this beautiful play. Executed it perfectly. The thing that gets me really fired up, Okri, is everybody who needed to know this was the play knew this was the play. Dan freaking Campbell showed the script to the officials ahead of the game. Guys, this is what we are going to do. Of course, there's going to be a little scheme, gamesmanship with other guys walking in the direction of the official, because we're not just going to send the guy who's going to catch the ball right to the official and make it blatantly obvious. But they told him that ahead of time. This is what we are doing. This is the play. It's on paper. Jared Goff is shown on video telling Decker, go over there and report. Everything is on video evidence. This is a flat out screw job. The fix was in. Brad Allen was in on it. He's probably got Jerry Jones on speed dial. Hey, guys, I really would love to host another game here in the Jerry world here for the playoffs. And, you know, this could be one of Thomas or this. I don't want to go to Detroit, but so get him over here. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got you, Jerry. Yeah, we'll pull some bullet then. Total ridiculousness. Okay? Absolutely unacceptable. The fix was in. Folks, if you haven't had a chance to click on what we shared on Twitter, the DKC Select, you get 4 minutes of me absolutely losing my mind, uncensored, unedited, full of explicits. We're not going to do that on the show. Yes, we're going to give you the Kool-Aid. Yes, we're going to give you the passion. There will be no swear words in here. All things may or may not be bleeped out if they happen. But if you want to hear the real deal live right after the play happened, it was like 1 a.m. I'm still pacing the house. I'm running around outside. I'm so freaking ticked off. I couldn't settle down. I just go bananas. Oh, the fix was in, Okri. What else can I say, man? What else?
Now, Chops, you take a breath, because I gotta now address the boola boola from you, that the only part you brought up about your quarterback was the good last drive. You didn't mention the two times he threw the ball to the other team or the fact that he struggled during this football game. I mean, that's about as crooked as Brad Allen trying to prop your boy up when he only had really one good drive in the football game. But I got to get back to the Zebras, because here's the thing. If you just go back and look, two guys walk up very close to the main zebra. One says, report, or I'm reporting. He even brushes his chest, which is the universal signal for eligible. I'm an eligible receiver. Dan Skipper is 10 to 15 yards away. This official decided that he was going to assume, we all know what happens when you do that, I got you. Yeah, I that guy's running on just like I've seen it in other games. I'm just going to make up what's happening instead of listening. So that's first and foremost. Dan Skipper never talked to the referee at all. You can see that on film. The only one that moved his mouth over in this huddle was Taylor Decker. So that's also on the video footage. No one ever made a signal other than Taylor Decker that he was an eligible type player. And Chops, like, why can't these people just admit they screwed up? He didn't admit it after the fact. He still penalized us. He didn't admit it after the football game. Why can we not just replay the down from yard two? And I know people are saying, what do you think? Ben Genius doesn't have another 2-point brilliant play that he could draw up if you give us a fair shot? No, you're going to move us back and move us up. You're going to move us around. Like, there were so many ways this could have happened. Or just at the end of the game, when you're interviewed by one reporter, like the coward that you are, you don't just say, I heard wrong. I made a mistake. I probably did cost the Detroit Lions a football game. All their fans know it. Everybody that's watching knows it. Every talking head knows it, except the stooge referee that's on ESPN saying, well, it looks like a mistake, but it's also the Lions' fault because they weren't blatant, or because they didn't do this, or it's on the team. How is it on the team when we told you ahead of time we did it perfectly? The only person that was wrong in this whole scenario is the officials. So, Chops, there's so much we could talk about, but they should have redone the play. Everybody knows it's BS. Like, don't give me this boola boola garbage where it's like, oh, but you could have done this in the second quarter. Oh, one play doesn't cost you a football game. I mean, Dan Campbell was crumpling up papers, throwing out his gum in the post game. He says he's on rocket fuel. He's got octane, whatever he said. I mean, of course he's going to play the alpha again, like I said earlier. Hey, we'll see these guys in a couple weeks. I hate losing. We should have won that football game. And Chops, let me throw this back to you. Why are these multi-millionaires, especially owners, billionaires, scared of the NFL fining them? What's the ultimate fine that a Sheila Hamp could get for just going off? Like $100,000? She carries that around in her purse. Like, what's Dan Campbell going to get? Oh, here's a $75,000 fine for it. Just going off and breaking the podium after the game. Like, I'm pretty sure that the owner's going to take up for you, or this is going to be pocket change. So the fact the NFL has all these players so worried about a little fine, yeah, I'm not trying to spend their money, but I'm also noticing if I wanted to really go off on somebody, it was going to cost me $5 and I felt it was worth it, I'd probably do it. And that's what it's equivalent to in the NFL. So I don't know why people are scared. We got screwed. I laid out why. Yes, this cost them the football game. It cost them the number 2 seed. It probably cost them 2 home playoff games. Now we got to go back to Conspiracy Island there in Dallas, probably to whoop their candy ass in the playoffs. Like, so much happened because of this. And I'm hearing people say, just get over it. Oh, it happens. Oh, like, Peter Schrager had the audacity to say, oh, it just happened. You got the rest of the season. Hey, Bumsky McGee, we got one game left, and it had huge playoff implications. Chops, I need another breath. Either serve up some Kool-Aid, let me play some drops, or go on your own rant for a minute.
Okri, listen, I'm going to continue. We got to go back and forth. We got to give you some Kool-Aid. So listen, I'm going to take a break from the part that we all know we want to talk about more. You want something that's going to cheer you up a little bit, Okri? Something's going to cheer you up. I'm going to need you to hit the sound bro.
Yes.
Guess who got unleashed during this game, and it's totally overshadowed. Play the drop.
Unleash Hutch.
Come on, Dan Campbell. I want to hear you say it too. After
unleash
the dance.
Hutch. I'm ready to unleash Hutch.
That's right, Dan Campbell. Hutch was absolutely unleashed in this game. 5 tackles, 3 sacks, 4 tackles for a loss, 5 QB hits. The guy went off, and it's totally overshadowed by what happened at the end of the game, but Hutch was an absolute animal in this game. Cam Sutton balled out, 10 solo tackles, another tackle for a loss. Dude, he was all over the field. The defense stepped up when we needed it to. And again, leading up to that game-winning drive, and again, people, I'm still going to call it a game-winning drive because it was a game-winning drive. I don't want to hear any nonsense about us being 11-5 or whatever, because in my mind, we are still 12-4, not 11-5. So it was the game-winning drive. But leading up to the game-winning drive, the defense needed to step up, and we needed to hold them to 3, and they did. We did what we needed to do. We got him after a bad interception by Jared Goff. Yes, I will take that and understand that it was a bad throw. We put him in terrible field position. And again, if Dallas knew anything of how to run time off the clock or had any kind of clock management, they would have had that thing down to way less than what they gave us. But with the defense stepped up and held him to 3 points and still had a minute 41 left. So, man, it's so hard to like stay positive and find good stuff, but there was good stuff, and then it all just gets flushed down the toilet because of one guy and his decision to screw us over. It's just ridiculous. And again, now I'm going to fire it back up, because to your point, during the pool report, he's making no sense on anything that he says. Well, number 70 had been reporting all game. No, knucklehead. He reported once earlier in the game. One time.
Once.
Not all game. I don't want to hear it. Total malarkey. So, Brad Allen, you are ridiculous. You knew you didn't. You wanted to screw us over, okay? The fix was in. This is not some accident. And again, I don't understand why. Can the NFL not just say we screwed up? Well, I know it doesn't change the outcome, but at least you can come out in the pool report. Hey, you know what? I had a chance to review this. You're absolutely right. 68 did report. It was my mistake. I called it out. I notified the defense incorrectly. The flag should not have been thrown. You know, sorry. Here's your apology to Sheila Hampford, and, you know, call it a day. But no, they got to double down, and then they got to blame it on other things. Well, you know, when it was announced over the loudspeaker, the Lions should have been paying enough attention to know that I said 70 and not 60. The Lions should have known that I'm a freaking moron and I can't tell a 7-0 versus a 6-8. No, it's no one else's responsibility. We laid the play out for you. We ran into the play. We executed the play. The quarterback told the guy to report. He reported. He swiped his jersey. It's all on film, you jerk. Brad Allen, you screwed up. NFL officiating, you suck. NFL, you screwed up. Own it. Don't blame the Lions. Don't say they should have kicked a field goal early in the game to get you 3 points. And I don't even want to get started on all these other idiots that decide they want to say other stuff and find other reasons why the Lions, what they could have done differently, should have. No, we won this game, plain and simple. We won it. You stole it.
Chops, back to your positive Kool-Aid.
Unleash Hutch.
That's a triple, four TFLs, a bunch of other plays. You also mentioned Cam Sutton in that diatribe of yours saying how great he played. I mean, I like the player. I like his leadership. I'm glad he's on our team, but I'm looking at CeeDee Lamb going for 227 and a deep tug. Sounds like him and the rest of our corners and DBs got roasted, toasted, and extra crispy all day long, if you ask me. But, I mean, gosh, you hit on so much there. To me, it just comes back to, like, how does this happen again in Dallas? How does this happen on the final play? How is this so blatant that you're not listening to the people? You're just making up assumptions. It almost like he took glory, or he was excited. If you go back and watch the footage on TV, he's telling Dan Campbell what he saw or what he assumed. Dan Campbell's saying, no, I wrote this on paper. I told your cronies. I told you we ran it perfectly and you still couldn't get it right. And the guy had a little smile on his face, just like, oh, man, my, you know, I'm sure Jarrah's going to be happy with me, or, man, this might help my, you know, bank account on the back end. Like, to me, it was just so blatant. It was like it was almost like Dan Campbell showed it to him and he put this in his back pocket of like, okay, I'll wait till something crucial happens in the game. And then, you know, when they run this, I'll just pretend I didn't remember. And that'll be my out, because there's really nothing difficult about this. I mean, again, the play worked so perfectly. I could care less if you told Dallas who it was. As long as you let us do it as it was drawn up, I'm totally cool with the play, the execution, everything. So, yeah, man, like you said, the whole doubling down. And, again, don't be that Lions fan that's holier than thou, that's like, oh, well, you know, this is SOL thinking, blaming the refs. Yes, I'm going to blame the refs when one play that would have given us the... Now, could Dallas have went down the field and kicked a deep field goal? Maybe. I would love to have given them that opportunity instead of taking it off the scoreboard for us. I would love you not to move us backwards and act like we did something wrong when you were the one that screwed up. I mean, and again, if this had no playoff implications, not as big of a deal. If this didn't mean maybe another home playoff game for the fans, the loyal, diehard Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers of Detroit, I'll let it slide. But because it's in Dallas, because this crooked ref, because it was so blatant on so many levels, and then the fact that you don't even have the, you know, you don't even have the integrity to come out and really make us... Chops, before we got on this pod, the NFL put out like a high school quality PowerPoint with Bula Bula video with horrible graphics trying to explain this. That's just even more embarrassing. A billion, multi-hundreds of billions of dollar industry has part-time refs that are wannabe lawyers, and then they have some tchotchke that's over there working PowerPoint from 2003 trying to show you why this wasn't reported properly, what teams need to do to be compliant. Like, it's just getting worse and worse for the National Football League. So I don't know what else there is to say about it. They stole the game from us. The NFL does Detroit again. Yes, Derek Barnes, you should have made that safety. Yes, we shouldn't give up 200 to CD. J-Mo Fast with a deep ball. Gotta love it. Mike McCarthy's a chubby corporate stooge that just like says whatever the boss wants and is just an embarrassment to coaching. And yeah, that final drive was incredible. I even said before we got it, I'm like, let's go down, score, get a 2-point, win this ball game. What did Jared Goff, Amon-Ra, you know, I can't even do the gimmick right because I'm so fired up right now. Amon-Ra. Like, what did he do? Get to the end zone. What did Demo do? Early score. What was Gibby doing? Doing his thing. And it's all taken from us on one play, the final play of the football game. Like, just so ridiculous on so many levels, man. So we tried to give the people what they wanted, man. I really got nothing else to say on it. It's pretty clear as day what happened. And, like, all I want now is for all of Dan Campbell's bravado to come true, which is we go whoop up on the Vikings, which we'll talk about here in a bit. We win that home playoff game. Again, I'm so fired up right now. Bring Matt Stafford here. Let's put him in a body bag and get that Dubski. And then let's go to Dallas. Like, even get Brad Allen on the crew. Put him back as the referee and let's go win it. Let's go beat them by double digits in round two of the playoffs. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah, okay. It's, again, I know you say I've said what I said, but man, I still have so much more. I mean, I feel like we could go on and on and on about this. Like, this is the biggest NFL story of the weekend. And it's just so frustrating, man. Like, you know, after the game, like, you know, it's, hey, shout out to Scott Van Pelt and Ryan Clark for going on ESPN. And I mean, it felt like they were on for an hour talking about this and this and this. Ryan Clark gets out on the video and he's like breaking it down. Like, look, here's Jared Goff showing him Decker, sending Decker over. Here's Dan Campbell at the podium talking about how he laid the play out. Here's this, here's that. Like, those two guys, I mean, again, you know that ESPN is bought and paid for by the NFL. And shout out to those two guys for having the cojones to just come out and just go at them. Like, you know, the Lions did what they had, what they could do, what they had to do. Oh, by the way, hashtag what Choppy said on the pod last week. I said we would be down late, and when the chips were down, the stakes were out, we would drive the field, score a touchdown, and win the game. Well, guess what, people? That's what happened. Hashtag what Choppy said. And then the NFL said, ah. Woo! And Brad Allen said, woo, I'm going to make me some money here, Mr. Jerry. And we got screwed, okay? So, Chops. Again, I could go on and on. And Okri, this is a big deal. This is going to cost the Detroit Lions millions of dollars in another home playoff game. This is going to cost the fans who live in Michigan and can't travel out to all these games another opportunity to see their team at home. This is going to cost you and me another tailgate, because guess what? The Eagles lost on Sunday, which made it even worse, because we would have been locked into the number two seed with the potential to get the number one seed when San Francisco loses to the Rams next week because they're resting all their damn players. We could have locked in the number one seed. We could have been riding home in Ford Field all the way to Vegas. But instead, this crap happens. And instead of getting the Cowboys at home, now we got to go back out to Jerry World, and I can't go to that game. But you know what? I would have been at Ford Field. So screw you, NFL. You mess with the fans. You mess with our organization. This is the brand new Lions, and we're not going to sit back and take it. It's ridiculous. So props to everybody who was on Twitter shouting out at the NFL, shouting out at the officiating. Props to the people on ESPN. I mean, at one point, the showrunner for Scott had to come out to Scott Van Pelt, whisper to him, hey, let's move on. We got to move on. And he was like, ah. He goes, I'm going to give Dan Campbell. I'm so fired up. I can't even talk. I'm going to give Dan Campbell props because I would have been slamming over podiums and throwing things. He's like, how is that guy remaining so calm? I'd be losing my mind. I mean, you know, again, Jared Goff comes out, consummate professional. Well, you know, of course he says what he's supposed to say. He's going to stay calm. He's going to say we should have executed other things. But what they're really saying in the locker room is we got screwed by the NFL. Screw you, NFL. Now we're going to go back. We're going on rocket fuel, and this is going to fuel our way all the way to the damn Super Bowl.
Give me a hell yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Hey man, you hit it right there. Like you were going crazy via text and like I said, you dropped the DKC select. I was trying to calm you down because I can't go through it too much more because I'm already getting upset again. But like I was so fired up after the 2-point, I was hollering, run around the house, and then like if you hear the Dan Miller audio, he was going absolutely insane about how great this was by Ben Johnson and how this was an incredible play and Taylor Decker getting all this love for a guy that's been here all these years to get the dub. And then you just hear, is there a flag down? Like 30 seconds later, and that's how I felt. I already done laps around the house. I'd thrown my hat. I was going crazy. This was a huge dubski, as we called it. And they take it from us in the most ridiculous fashion. You know, there's no accountability for any of these people. I was up till 3 a.m. listening to Jeff Rieger on 97.1 because I think his voice is entertaining. He makes me laugh. And he was just saying how this was just so wrong on so many levels and just took calls till 3 a.m. And I was just too fired up to go to sleep. So, I mean, again, it's one football game, but it's a big football game. And all the reasons you just mentioned. Don't take another home playoff game from us. Don't take money out of Detroit's pocket. Don't, you know, try to mess with the brand new Lions because Matt Stafford would have got up to the podium and said, I got no comment. You know, we're just going to keep playing. And the fact that there's even a little pushback from Dan Campbell and company, you know, I hope they just go light people up now and have no remorse, no mercy, no nothing, because that's what the brand new Lions would do rather than just take it, say thank you, can I have another, and don't worry, just give it to Dallas again next year. No, we're done with that. Again, Chuck, my buddy, we're going back and forth on the text. Chuck's trying to blame us because he said we got greedy. Then he tried to say the call was correct. He has no idea what he's talking about on any of this. He's just a Dallas slap that was like happy his team won. Congratulations. They gifted you a win when Detroit earned it. We took it at the end of the game. And the fact that Chuck would even just not acknowledge it as well just drove me absolutely insane. I think I had to put his text on silent because like, I can't hear this Cowboy fan tell me how they did the correct thing. Oh, you got what you deserved because you went for two. We went and won the football game is what we did. So it was a rough night on so many levels. Chop, chop. I think we need to take a breath. I think we need to like whoop up about our Michigan Wolverines being a national championship. I think we got to tell people why it's going to be so crazy for our playoff stone cold Dan Campbell tailgate that we're working on. Barely talk about this Minnesota game because we're going to put it on them and then see what happens. But give a score prediction on that. Calm ourselves down a little bit and then get ready for playoff football in Detroit. What do you guys say about that, man?
Yeah, you're right, Okri. And the last thing I want to add about that is you made a good point there. So Dan Campbell and Jared Goff found their ways to take shots and you know, stay calm, but still take some jabs there. Like, you know, Goff just looking at him and go, I can tell you this is what happened. I can tell you this is what happened. Only one guy reported. 68 reported. That meant like just, you know, and you know, Dan Campbell, like, pacing up and down, and then he gets a little snippet, you know, what would you be, Dan? Or Dave? Right. It was just, you know, it was just great. So they found their ways. They didn't just take it. You know, I didn't see if the Hamp came out and said something, but again, she's probably just letting it be. And Dan and Brad are probably just kind of telling her, hey, like, let's move on. Let's use it as fuel. But we didn't just sit back and, you know, like you said, Stafford stand at the podium.
You know, Brad always open for business, Holmes rubbing those meat hooks together, ready to go. You know, he's like ready to bear hug someone and throw him up against the wall like he did Rod Wood in the draft room. I mean, you know, he's ready to rumble.
Yeah, he's always down. You know that for sure, man. And I wouldn't mess with that guy either. He's you know, I think he could probably pick you up with the meat hooks and lift you up for the big old power slam, you know, get you up over the top and slam you down to the mat. So I ain't messing with that guy. He's always open for business. You know that. So yeah, let's take a break. Again, the segment went long. Thank you, people. But let's take a break. Let's get some Kool-Aid. Let's talk about the future. We still got a lot of great things to talk about, a lot of great things for this Lions team to do here in the next couple weeks. And, you know, let's take a break and we'll go from there.
Chops, the Lions got screwed in Dallas. Everybody with two eyes knows it. We're chalking that up as a dubski for the Lions. And that's the bottom line.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets it.
More on that in a minute, everybody. We'll be right back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, everybody. This goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You could put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Kool-Aid drinkers are back. I've taken a few breaths. I've calmed down. Me and Chops have continued to yell at each other during the break. Thank you so much for listening to our sponsors. We're a little fired up this week. We got a victory stolen from us in Dallas. Tell me if that sounds familiar. But we're moving forward, just like Dan freaking Campbell and company. But rather than shout-outs and all this craziness, again, a lot of you hit me up on the Kool-Aid hotline. This is crazy. We got robbed. Fixes in. All that stuff was great. I tried to get back to as many people as I could. But Choppy, we got a couple things we got to get into, and we got to whoop the people up about what's going on playoff tailgate weekend. But before we get to that, I'm going to cut you off because I know like your whole gimmick is you're probably going to come in here all humble and be like, oh, what a great matchup I had in the championship. You did a lot of talking. You said you thought you had it wrapped up. And then my boy Kneecaps and Helmets took you out in a DKC Fantasy League Championship. You know, it's probably not right of me to say I loved it, but when I looked over at the score and saw that you were on the lower end of the two scores, a smile might have come across my face, I ain't gonna lie, because you did sleep through the draft and you beat me twice and a whole bunch of other bula bula. So I'm just gonna stop that right now if you thought you were gonna come in here and thank everybody and say how great it was rather than brag like you have the last couple weeks. So did I kind of cut you off at the pass there? Is that probably where you were going first?
Nah, it looks like I was going to come in and say that, hey, second place is the first loser. So
that is
you know,
true.
Second place means nothing to me. It's you know, tip the cap, like, you know, great nothing. Season, Kneecaps and Helmets, fine. You know, because I have class.
Woo!
I have class. Sorry. Woo! But listen, yeah, no, man, I was the team came a little short. If you look at the biggest fall or shortfall projections, it was my team. We fell flat in the finals. You know, total bummer after having a nice run. But hey, he won the regular season, won the championship. Tip my cap. Nice job, Kneecaps and Helmets, Trevor. But hey, watch your ass next year because I'll be coming for you.
Hey, Chops, I have a hashtag for that game.
Woo! Hashtag Choppy Liking.
Woo. All right, yeah, what else we got to talk about? I could rub it in all day on you, buddy.
Yeah, I bet you do, buddy. Hey, at least I was there.
Yeah, I've won it before, just so you know, for the inaugural winner. But nobody wants to hear about our fantasy league. I just had to get a couple free shots in on you because you've done that consistently across the pods here. Chops, do we talk about the Michigan Wolverines in the national championship game for a little levity? Or do we just get right into playoff tailgates for the Lions?
Nah, I think we got to talk about some Michigan Wolverines, people. Listen, the Michigan game last night or Monday night was the it's the only thing that kept me going after this Lions game, because I was not in a good mood after we got hosed on Saturday night. So for my Michigan Wolverines to come in and take care of the Bama, and you know, so Twitter was all the Buckeye and Sparty fans. Roll Tide, go roll yourself. All right, Michigan took care of business. It took overtime, but again, your boy and my boy, J.J. McCarthy and Blake Corum, when we needed it most, came up. They showed up. They balled out. And we are Rose Bowl champs, and we are heading to Houston, baby.
Used to love playing that drop for Benny Blades when me and him did the show, and he was going on and on about the U and this and that. I would just drop that on him and remind him who the winningest program of college football is. Yeah, now you know as well, Nick Saban. It was incredible. You know, me and you, crazy, but that was like, I dubbed it as the biggest game of my lifetime. Again, I was so hyped for it. Me and you were going back and forth. It started rocky. It was a crazy football game, an instant classic at the Rose Bowl, as I dubbed it, and everybody saw with their own two eyes. They hung in there. They fight. They don't get flustered by anything. And to get that win in that setting with this team, it was just one of the better sports moments of my life, no question. Obviously, there's one more to get, but that one was special on so many levels. So, as you said, that was a big pick-me-up. I know there were people that were even, like, going into that game just pissed and down, and just all because of this boo that happened with the Lions, but, like, it was such an incredible college football game, just so glad I got to watch it, drink that one in, man. It was tremendous.
Drink it in, man.
Yeah, a little bit of blue Kool-Aid with a little Mason blue Kool-Aid, not the Honolulu blue Kool-Aid, but just a fantastic game. Anytime you can see Nick Saban crying in his coffee after the game, it's great. And hey, listen, you know, they're the powerhouse. You know, they've been there, and it was great to see a Big Ten team beat an SEC team to move on to the championship game. And now it'll be two Big Ten teams facing each other, because, you know, that's where Washington's going to be next year. So great for some non-SEC love with college football. And again, Michigan versus everybody. And next week, everybody equals Washington.
And Chops, if we're talking college ball, if we're talking Wolverines, I got to remind the people of this.
Hey, listen, Ohio State sucks.
Ohio State is vanquished.
Exactly. Well, it's been about 1,500, 2,000 days, whatever the clock is up to at this point. Chops, let's just say go blue for all those Michigan fans out there that are listening. All the rest of you need to root on these Wolverines too in the championship. But Chops, the people here who are listening to the pod, they loving our rants early. They want to hear what else we got in the bag. And I think the biggest thing we got for them, because we're not going to spend too much time on this Minnesota Week 18, maybe we get the 2 seed, whatever. We got to let the people know about the preparations that are going in with our crazy schedules. But we are so hyped for a playoff tailgate in Detroit. I mean, we got the spot. I'm working on some Stone Cold Dan Campbell themes. We're going to have shirts. We're going to have signs. We're going to have championship belts. We're going to have music. There'll be Kool-Aid and cornbread. You know, the grill is going to be going. I mean, we're trying to make some big plans if all comes together well. So I think you need to let everybody know where this is going to be. They need to come check us out. We had so much fun last time hollering at people. We always have fun at the tailgates getting after it. And we'll be there when the sun comes up, I'm sure.
Yeah, Oakry, look, we're going to be in the exact same spot that we were for the home opener, right? I think it's kind of fitting. Like, we opened the season at this with the tailgate at this lot, and we're going to open up the playoffs in the same lot doing some of the same crazy stuff. So we're going to be right off of Cass Avenue between Columbia and Elizabeth, right across from Bookies. You know the spot. We're going to be right in the dead center of the lot meeting with the people. Look, we're going to be serving some Kool-Aid. We're going to be serving some cornbread. We're going to be making new friends. We're going to be hanging with old friends. So I encourage everybody who is excited for this playoff game and looking for a place to party to come by, see the Kool-Aid cast. You know we're going to have signs. You know we're going to have jerseys. You know we're going to have swag. You know we're going to have gimmicks going. We're going to tell you all about those. But swing by the lot there on Cass Ave. It's 2121 Cass Ave lot. Come see us at the DKC tailgate party.
Because, Chops, we do it for the people.
And the people consist of the millions.
So basically, like, if you don't have a spot, if you're not at the Eastern Market, wherever all your normal tailgates are, like, this is a lot probably holds probably 100, 200, I don't even know, huge lot, tons of spots. So easy to get in, easy to get out. We love it if some of the diehard listeners of the show would come by, park next to us, park around, come hang out. We were throwing Kool-Aids to people waiting in line for stuff. We were serving up cornbread. It was just tons of fun for the home opener, and that's our game plan for this one as well. Still TBD, if you ask me, but we'll see. It's going to be incredible because we'll get it together. Me and Chops always do, regardless of how busy we are. So that's the game plan. We want to let everybody know. You can find me on Twitter at Derek Oakry. That's DereK Oakrie. Shoot me a DM or say what's up and let me know if you want to be in that area. You can also find Chops at Chops in the D. And we'll try to hit some of you up as well that we've communicated with in the past and see if we can figure out some game plans. So biggest game probably in Detroit sports history, you know, since those Stanley Cup games back in the day. But it's about to get real crazy for a Lions home playoff game. I know that for sure.
Yeah, okay, we don't know if it's Saturday, Sunday, or Monday yet, but we will find out after the games are completed this week. So we don't know the opponent. I think that's kind of where we're going to move into here is let's talk about some different playoff scenarios. But the tailgate is going to be bumping. It doesn't matter the day. It doesn't matter the opponent. You know we're going to be set up. You know we're going to be playing music. You know, we've been known to dress in costumes for different games. We've been known to do some gimmicks. We've been known to serve up actual Kool-Aid to fans. Accepted some Kool-Aid that had a little bit of adult flavor in it, and definitely Kool-Aid for the kids too. So brother, let me tell you, it's going to be a great time,
brother.
No doubt about it. Chops, let's do this, man. You know, again, I've kind of been pushing off this Minnesota game, but I mean, it's week 18. Lions still can get that 2 seed. They play early, of course, like the Eagles and the 49ers and Dallas and whoever, they all play later. So, you know, the Lions got to go out, win the football game. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, obviously they're going to play their guys, but I wouldn't be surprised if they go out and try to make a statement early in this game, try to just put the pedal to the metal, score a bunch of points. Ooh. Says they're going to get CJ, that's my GJ out there, CD Deuce, Big Mac, a.k.a. Honey Bun, a.k.a. Twinkle Toes, a.k.a. you know what it is. All those nicknames are going to be out there. I mean, you know, we got some other players that might either be playing or returning or whatever, but I just feel like go out there, score a bunch of points, put on a show for the fans, get your guys out maybe in the third quarter if you got this one wrapped up. Minnesota's got a little bit to play for, but I think this is one you win pretty handily. And then you see where the chips fall. I mean, gosh, Matty Stafford and company should have lost to the Giants last week. They got out by just absolute sheer luck. Lots of other craziness always happens in the NFL, as we know, both in real life And because of our fantasy teams, you just never know what's going to happen. It's absolutely crazy, especially when the Zebras are in somebody's back pocket or when they make some crazy calls and change the outcome of ball games, in case we haven't mentioned that. But I feel like anything can happen. Win your game, see what happens. I'd rather not play Matt Stafford and go through that, but if I do, I'm already getting prepared for the Stone Cold Dan Campbell poster with him giving Matt Stafford a stunner. Maybe we'll even put your boy Jared Goff on there. We definitely got to put Dan Campbell's head on some type of Stone Cold body and just rep that, maybe with the Campbell 313 t-shirts if we can get those in time. But I would rather play Minnesota. I'd rather play Green Bay. I'd rather play Tampa. I'd rather play the Saints. I mean, basically, though, like we said before, just give us anybody. Let's get to this playoff game. Let's get rowdy. Let's win it. I got this game against the Vikings, even if the starters only play three-some quarters. I got it as like us dropping a 35-38 point total, just having fun out there. And Minnesota coming in at like 14-20-ish. So, you know, I think it's a big-time beatdown, a celebration for the fans, and get everybody to stop thinking about how we got royally screwed and done up in Dallas by the Zebras.
Yeah, Minnesota's got everything to play for, and we kind of have nothing to play for. But like Dan Campbell said, we're not resting, guys, and I agree. I think this is just going to be an opportunity. Like, Minnesota is going to be the redheaded stepchild that we beat around because we're so pissed off about getting screwed in Dallas. I don't want to get started on it again, Ogre. I'm just going to try to focus, like, focus. Minnesota, Minnesota, Minnesota. Okay, all right. So, yeah, I could go into all the point favorites and the over-unders. You know what? It doesn't matter. Look, Minnesota. Hey, Minnesota. Who's your quarterback?
What is your name?
That's right. What is your name?
Doesn't matter what your name is.
That's right. It doesn't matter what your name is, Minnesota's quarterback. If it's Dobbs, if it's Mullins, if it's some other bum they just picked off the practice squad. It doesn't matter. The Lions are going to come in angry and ready to beat you down. And that's exactly what we're going to do. I'm not even going to give a score prediction, Oakley. Sure, 38 sounds great. 14, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a Lions W. We finish the season on a high, and we're ready to go back to Ford Field the following week. And again, you know, you talk about it. You don't want to play the Rams. You'd rather play anybody else. Like, the Rams almost lost to the freaking Giants last week. So, again, anything is possible. And what better way to kick off the brand new Lions than would be the best way to welcome in the brand new Lions would be for them to come in and destroy the old guard. Let Matty Statty come into Ford Field and just get pounded on by the brand new Lions. And then it's over. Finito. Jared Goff, Stone Cold Stunner onto Matt Stafford. And there's no more talk. And then you know what the talk is? The talk then becomes that Jared Goff is the greatest Lions quarterback ever when he wins the playoff game in Ford Field next week. That's all I'm focused on, people, not Minnesota. It's going to be the offensive light show. You're going to get my boy, Amon-Ra, and the Laporta supporters, and the hashtag Goff train, and the D-Money, and your boy, Ja, kicking some butts. And hey, you know what? What would be better than seeing Hutch get unleashed all over Matt Stafford? What could be better?
I'm trying to get to all the gimmicks choppy as you get through.
So many gimmicks just going on and on and on.
Chops, I have exclusive audio of Aiden Hutchinson trying to figure out who the new tight ends are for the Minnesota Vikings. You want to hear that?
Yes, please play it for me.
Who is this Rudy Poo?
it's going to be a fun one this Sunday. Again, the chips are going to fall where they may. I mean, I'm not going to be afraid, but the Rams just kind of have that offense, that team. We really have to be sound in the secondary, other teams. But it's in our house, man. We can't let anybody come to our house and ruin this home playoff game, no matter who it is. So I'm fired up about that. I think we got a lot off our chest here on this show. I know people are still fired up, but if you're a Michigan Wolverine fan, that made you feel better. As this week goes by, you'll get fired up for Lions football to end this season. You'll be scoreboard watching to see who we play. NFL, don't screw us again and give Detroit a Monday night home playoff game when you know everybody in the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan are hard workers. We want to party all morning, all day, and all after the football game for our first home playoff game since 1993. So don't put it on a freaking work day, or Goodell, I'm going to come find you, okay? That's first and foremost. Second of all, Chops, we both have this as a dubski, a fun win. We'll see who we play. I mean, you got anything else crazy for the people before we get up out of here, man?
No, Okri, I'm just excited for this team, excited for the home. The greatest season for the brand new Lions comes to a completion on Sunday. Regular season over. We're looking at the playoffs? Playoffs? That's exactly what I'm looking at. So let's go. Let's go to Ford Field. Let's go to back-to-back weekends. Let's kick some butt. Let's take care of Minnesota. Let's see who comes up next. And then get ready to drink it in all the way to the Super Bowl.
The king in the north. The king in the north.
Everybody, that's what we got. Served up some Kool-Aid, some cornbread, some rants. We raved. We hyped you up. We told you about the tailgate. I made fun of Chops losing in the fantasy championship. And we'll catch you next week right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. Take care, everybody. We're out.
Woo! Playoffs. Playoffs. Playoffs.
Drink it in,
Cornbread.
Pack the bag. Start the plane. This game is over. What a comeback by the Lions!
Drink it in, man.